name is Pastor Kirby. I'm one of the other pastors here. It's great to be back with all of you, and it's been wonderful to hear some of the conversations about last week with Pastor Alex and the series about the Psalms, and thank you, Mr. Floyd. Appreciate you. Today, I'm going to take a drink quick. Sorry. Today's a new day, isn't it? But is it really? I mean, think about it. We wake up the same way. Generally, right? We have an alarm that goes off at the same time almost every day. Some of you have an internal alarm that won't let you sleep past that date, but you get up. If your alarm goes off, you hit the snooze so many times, and then you get up. You eat this for breakfast at this time. You have this amount of coffee and this kind of coffee at this time. You go to work. You fill your day with your tasks. You come home, get a couple chores done, watch a show, go to bed, and repeat. Is the day really new? I mean, we love that safety net of repetition, of comfort, of stability, as we would call it. We like things the way they are. And we go through our lives oftentimes without even engaging in the pleasantries of somebody in our community. We go to the grocery store, we see somebody, and we ditch down the other aisle because we don't have time to have a conversation. Right? Because what is that going to do? It's going to throw off our entire day. And I don't have time for that. Right? How much more time do we, less time do we give to somebody we don't know? We don't have time to do that. It'll disturb us, and our day will be just a little bit off. You see, I think we're all creatures of habit. We're creatures of the things that provide us with that comfort, that the things we know. We don't like to go into the unknown of things, because then we get a little tense, little worked up. And we find ourselves then moving through life without a lot of variation. We move through life just kind of getting things done. And there was a time, maybe you can remember that time, there was a time where your life was filled with dreams, with ambitions, with things to do, new to do, or places to go, but then just life happens. It's not a negative, just life happens. And now we fill our day with the routine and the ordinary because it's what we know, and we don't have time to go new places, to see new things, to experience new experiences, right? We like our comfort. We like our comfort zone. It's where we live. It's where we like to be, because different makes us uncomfortable. All right, everybody, I want you to do something. Fold your hands like you're praying. Just fold your hands. Now, instinctively, we have all folded our hands in a specific way. Now, I want you to try to fold your hands the other way. Some of you have to really think about this. You can do it, can't you? It's not a problem. It's not difficult. But it feels, I can't do that anymore. Right? It just feels different. It feels awkward. Right? Different is hard for us. See, we've worked really hard to create the haven that we have. And a lot of us, maybe you grew up in a kind of a chaotic life. And now the stability and the control and the routine has created comfort for you. It's created a place of peace and stability, which I understand and I like. Today we're going to talk about one of the disciples named Peter. He was one of the 12 men who was very intimately close with Jesus. And Peter, very much like us, loved his comfort zone. He loved the place that he lived. He loved what he did. See, oftentimes, in sports is where we usually identify it, but it's in anything. We like to be in the zone, right? You hear an interview with an athlete, they say, well, I was just kind of in the zone, right? You don't think about it. You're just responding, and things are working out great. I'm in the zone. And we like that in our lives, too. We like to be in the zone in our lives because things are working out, conversations are going well, and things just happen. Right? And we're getting stuff done. And for some of us, like, nobody's bothering me and I love it and I can get stuff done. We're in the zone. See, oftentimes, though, we're going to gravitate to that stuff. So when something new happens, when something kind of comes in and disturbs our rhythm, we're going to gravitate back to what we know. We're going to gravitate to that which is comfortable for us. And that's a natural human instinct. Peter did the same thing. But there's something that holds us back in this life, of pursuing those new things. And I would say that since we're in church, I would say that the things are holding us back in pursuing a life in faith. And it's those things that are uncomfortable. It's those things that we don't know. It's those things that we're afraid of. Maybe not expressively, but inside, something is scaring us because we believe that God is like, he's out to get to us. He's going to send me to Timbuktu, and I won't know anybody, and I'll be miserable, and God wants to ruin my life. That's not true. It's not true. God, you are shaped, whether nature or nurture, you are you. And there is a set of wires, not literal wires because you're not a clone, but you're wired for something. You're wired for something great with God. And oftentimes we have put that aside because I don't have time, I don't want to deal with it, I don't want to do something different. Because the truth is, God will never ask you to do something that he hasn't created you to do. Now, we like the phrase, this is different, we like this phrase though, God will never give you more than you can handle. Let me say very clearly, that's false. The Bible never says that. In fact, God says, I will give you enough and I will be there for you. Have some faith. The Bible never says God will never give you more than we can handle, because if we could handle it all, we don't need God. But God gives us the things that we are created to do so we can depend on him to get through it. Right? He's not going to get you anything that you're not created for. But we like our comfort. We like our routine. Hey, look, I'm not preaching to just you. I'm preaching to myself, too. The greatest gift I got was last year. I got a recliner. I love my recliner. I'm not going to lie. This is the first one. This is like big boy recliner, not the hand-me-down from grandpas and grandmas and moms and dads recliner. This is my own personal get out of my chair, kids, recliner. I love it. Amen. Thank you, Emma. We like the routines. We like our comfort zone. So the challenge today is, what would it look like to step outside of our comfort zones? Take a look at this video.
This is Jack. Jack is happy. Jack is happy because he's in his comfort zone. Go, Jack, go. Jack is a good driver. However, he has been stopped for DUI, driving underinflated. Jack loves to go to church. Go to church, Jack, go! Jack used to enjoy visiting with friends over a good meal at church. However, he stopped going to meals at church because meeting new people is out of Jack's comfort zone. Jack used to volunteer in the children's ministry. However, he stopped that because children are outside of his comfort zone. Oh, look at them giggle. That's gonna make Jack cry. Jack tried attending a small group one time. However, the leader said, Jack, why don't you share with us? And that, you guessed it, was outside of his comfort zone. Jack has many dreams, desires, and ambitions. He wants his life to count for something. However, that will never happen, because life lived inside the comfort zone is life lived outside of God's will.
So we're not outside of God's will completely. We're a little off center, some of you more than others, but we're a little off center because the reality is our comfort zone is what we know. And there's a danger though, because when we just settle in our comfort zone, when we don't allow ourselves to do something different, to, as the video showed early, to get messy, that's where things get stagnant. We settle for mediocrity. We just settle for the ordinary. And God is never about that. God is about the extraordinary, and he can use your life. Now, extraordinary is not all Billy Graham. That is not just the extraordinary. But we know, really, that God is going to accomplish his will, right? No matter what, he's going to accomplish his will. But why would we not want to be a part of that? Why would we not want God to use us to accomplish that? It's absolutely incredible. There are things in this life, can we be honest, that life is not so perfect and rosy that there's nothing in our life that should need to change, right? I mean, I know there are things in my life that need to be changed, right? Life is not perfect. Why do we settle for life in this thing simply because we don't want to bother, simply because things are a little uncomfortable, or we've never done something? God has called us to so much more. So today, I think there's a few things that we need to understand. I think there's a few things to understand what it means to live a life outside of our comfort zone. Now, when I say that, some of you are ready to walk out on me, not because I've offended you, but because it's terrifying, the thought of living outside and doing something different, right? We like this. So the first thing that we need to understand is that God calls us out of our comfort zones. That's where God calls us. God calls us out of it. And today we're going to talk about the Apostle Paul. Because when we realize Apostle Paul and we trace his story, we realize that Paul loved his comfort zone. He absolutely loved it. Paul, in the Bible, he was especially comfortable on the water. Right, he was a fisherman. That's what his livelihood was. He loved the boat. He loved the water. He loved the net. He probably, the smells, the lives with the guys, the things that he did, he absolutely loved it. That was his occupation. That was his life. And he worked those nets in the Sea of Galilee like crazy. But he was also ready to move out in faith when Jesus asked him to. He left everything he had. Now, how can a guy do that when fishing, when the water and the boat is part of his DNA? It's absolutely who he was and what he was about, but he set it aside with just a little bit of faith. See, when Jesus first met Peter and his brother Andrew, they're fishing. They're doing what they do. They're doing what they know, and both have their nets in their hands. They're trying to find fish. They're trying to find it and get what's going on. And Jesus calls out to these loud, leathery, smelly men and says, "Hey, come follow me." And it says they dropped everything. They step out of their familiar lives with faith, with expectation, maybe with a little anxiety, because they want to see what will happen next. And they're willing to set aside their routine. They're willing to set aside the known for a little bit of faith and to see what God is going to do. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 4, starting at verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. I love how it says, at once they left. At once they left. Jesus didn't have to keep asking Peter, "Hey, Peter, come on. No, it's okay, come on. You can do this. Peter, no, it's you, come on. Me? Yeah, you, Peter, come on." No, he didn't do that. He says, at once. It's unlike my dog who the other night kept barking all night long and woke us up several times. And I had to keep telling him, "Stop barking or you're going to go outside." I didn't, because then he'd make it worse. But at once, Peter did what Jesus asked him to do. He set everything aside. How could he do that? How could he drop absolutely everything? Because there was that little seed of faith in him, just a little itty-bitty seed of faith, that he says, "I want to see what's going on." And it leads us to our next point, is that life outside of our comfort zone requires faith. See, the reality is anything outside of our comfort zone, it's going to take a step of faith to do it. Now, the gospel accounts give another story of Peter and the boys during their time with Jesus. They're walking with Jesus every single day. And one such account is found in Matthew 14. It's the feeding of the 5,000 people, 5,000 men, actually. There's probably about 20,000 total with men, women, and children. And they're feeding these people. And there's a big, big hub about what's going on. He's at the water's edge. He's at the lake. And it says this in Matthew 14. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. So the disciples obeyed, they got in the boat, and they went around. Here's what happened next. After he had dismissed them, he went up to a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. All right, I want to imagine this here. Here's the disciples with Jesus with about 15,000 people, and Jesus says, "Get into the boat and leave." And these 15,000 just experienced the miraculous. They experienced the miraculous. Jesus sends them away, and he sticks around to deal with the people. Now, I got to be honest, on a Sunday afternoon, after everything that happens, the conversations, here and in the community on a Sunday, I'm emotionally tired. I'm physically tired. I'm wiped out. I want to go to my recliner. I do. But Jesus says, "Hey guys, go ahead and leave. I'll handle the 15,000 people." All right, I got to be honest. There's like 200 of you, and I get tired. Like if there were 15,000 people, I tell you, "Hey guys, you deal with them. I'm going to get in the boat and leave." Right? But he says, "No, get in the boat, go take off." And what does he do? He goes up the mountainside to spend some time alone with his Heavenly Father. He goes away and after deal with them. And after he does that, he walks down. Now, I can imagine that the disciples at this point are really getting a little worried. Like I said, "All right, Jesus told us to get in this boat and go to the lake. And we haven't seen him for several hours. Is he okay? I mean, that's a lot of people. Is he dead? What's going on? Did he leave us?" I can imagine all these questions rambling around in their head, but all Jesus says was, "Get in the boat and go." And they got in the boat and go. And they decided, they started their journey just before dark, okay? They started, and it'd be no big deal. Look, these are experienced fishermen. They know the lake. They know the boat. They know the winds. They know that at any time, the wind can come off those mountains in the Sea of Galilee and stir up the waters. But it was no big deal. They've done this 1,000 times before. They have absolutely no problems at all. See, furious winds would do it. But there's no way a fisherman would intentionally go out in the middle of a storm. So more than likely, they have been out on the water for several hours, and the calm winds is where it started. They didn't go out in the middle of the storm. They went out, the waters were calm, and it was a beautiful day. Now, in that time, the night was broken up into watches. Okay, it was broken into four watches. The first watch was from 6 to 9. The next was 9 to 12. 12 to 6, right? And then 6 to 9, right? Yep. So it was broken up into these watches. And we understand from that last watch encompassed both the end of the day or end of the night and the sunrise. And so it's likely the disciples headed out during the second shift of the evening. And we get a little understanding of that, and we're given a clue in the feeding of the 5,000 when it says this in 14, verse 15. As evening approached, we're getting into that second or the first watch, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Okay, so taking into consideration the approximate time dinner was served, the fact that Scripture says he came walking to them on water just before dawn, these disciples in the boat had probably been fighting this storm for 6 to 9 hours. So they're out on a lake for 6 to 9 hours, waiting. Where's Jesus? Look, usually if somebody's late to an appointment with me for like 15 minutes, I leave. 9 hours. And they're fighting the waves, they're fighting the current, and they're just tired. They're absolutely tired. Jesus is nowhere to be found. And if anybody needed comfort zone right now, it was the disciples, right? They needed to be in a place that they understood. They needed to be in a place that they could control and a peace from the storm. Their minds are worn out. Their bodies are fatigued. Their spirits are down. And now they think, like Scooby and Shaggy, they see a ghost. It's a ghost, Scooby, right? They just do. And they're terrified. They're absolutely terrified about what's going on. And look at this, Matthew 14. They hear the voice of Jesus. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come out to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, no big deal, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Okay, so now this story happens later in Jesus' walk with God. It takes a little while before, it wasn't his first encounter with Jesus, a little bit later, and we see him in the boat with the rest of the disciples. He's in his comfort zone. He's in a place that he understands. And Jesus walks on the water toward the disciples, and they're terrified, and they're afraid, and they're tired, and all of this stuff. And Jesus walks out. Now, what does Peter do? Peter asks for what? Permission to join Jesus. Okay, wait a minute. The apostles, the disciples are all in this boat fighting this big storm. They can barely hold it together, I imagine. And now here's Peter says, "Hey, Jesus, I want to leave my guys. Who cares if the boat sinks? I want to go with you." I mean, can you imagine his friends in that boat? It says, "Seriously, Peter, are you only thinking about yourself right now? We're going to die where the boat's going to sink, and you want to leave us." I mean, how can they imagine doing that? They're so tired. But notice that they all heard the voice of Jesus. It wasn't just Peter. Every single one of them. So there was that fear slowly starts to die down. But now Peter wants to join him on the lake. So Jesus calls Peter, says, "Step out of the boat." And Peter does. See, the call from Jesus to Peter to step out of the boat and join him outside of the comfort zone. Outside of the boat, where he knows how the boat is going to react. Some of you have cars, tractors, things that you know. Wait a minute, what's that sound? Oh, why did it just do that? You know everything about that thing. You know how it's going to react. You know how it's going to drive. You know that you can't go over this fast without it shaking like crazy. You know everything about that vehicle. The disciples knew everything about that boat. How it would react to the wind, where to place the nets, where to stand to get the proper weight balance. They knew absolutely everything. That was their comfort zone. The boat was comfortable regardless of the storm. Stepping out into that storm was not comfortable. Same storm, same waters, but now Peter didn't have the comfort of the people around him to help. Now, Peter didn't have the comfort of the boat and knowing what to do. It was just him, a big, massive, ugly storm, and Jesus. How is he going to handle it? So what does he do? He starts to take his eyes off of Jesus because now he doesn't have the comfort zone to lock him in where he can just focus on Jesus. Now he realizes the storm is pretty gnarly. And he looks and like, oh, that really is bad. I'm going to die. And it says he starts to sink. It didn't say he dropped. He starts to fall below the water. Get this. Peter's comfortable in that boat. Utterly comfortable. But God, Jesus says, come on out, Peter. Take that step of faith. It's the same storm. I'm not removing the storm from your life. I'm not going to remove that thing, that outside factor, but it's going to be a little different. You won't have the boat to depend on. But you got me. We often think, Peter, you're walking on the water with Jesus. Pretty sure this hasn't been done before. How in the world can you lose faith in Jesus? He didn't. Let me be very clear on this. He didn't lose his faith on Jesus. He just saw that outside of his comfort zone, there's some things that still happen. Like, what am I going to focus on? What am I going to give my attention to, my hope two, yeah, this is bad. I need to recognize it. Don't need to be disrespectful or ignore the storm and thing in my life. But the reality is he took his eyes a little bit off of Jesus and says, okay, I trust you. Just, do you see it? Right? Do you see this, Jesus? But Jesus responds to Peter's cry and he reaches down and touches him. And we often read that as just this harsh rebuke. And we get so mad and like, Jesus, how in the world are you getting so mad at Peter? He just walked on the water. He's not God. How do you get so mad? But the reality is Peter had enough faith to step out and act when he called him. God didn't promise, Jesus didn't promise us, look, step out onto this water, which is a big enough act, in the middle of a storm, everything will be fine. Nothing to worry about, Peter. Right? Jesus didn't tell us that when we step outside of our comfort zone, it'll be tiptoe through the tulips. There's still going to be things that are going to scare us. There's still going to be things that are uncomfortable and dangerous. But Jesus says, come, take that step out. Then he has a heart-to-heart with Peter, and he says, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Okay. Again, I don't understand this. But here's the deal. It wasn't condemnation. It wasn't yelling. It wasn't anger. The word there is meant to invoke a gentle rebuke. Kind of like what you do with your kid. Right? We saw the messiness, and we saw the little kid coloring themselves with marker. And we all laughed, especially the old folks who said, I've been there, have fun, little ones. Right? We all laugh. But the gentle rebuke comes, yeah, all right. We don't do that. Or when they're trying something new, it's like, you're so close. I'm right here. I got it. You were so close. Keep going. Keep going. It's the gentle rebuke. That's what this word implies in the scripture. Jesus is giving him a gentle, it's like Peter, you were so close. A little bit more. We're going to keep going. I know you've got the faith. You're so close. Keep your eyes on me and keep going. Don't take your eyes off of me, right? This was not a condemning rebuke. See, his comfort zone taught him to respect the waters. His comfort zone taught him to be aware of his surroundings and the dangers, the scariness, the differences, the difficulties. His comfort zone taught him that. But now he's outside of his comfort zone. He's coming face to face with it. And Jesus says, keep going. Keep going. Because Peter never lost hope and faith in Jesus. It's when he got out of the comfort zone, he saw the reality of the storm. But he never lost hope and faith in Jesus. See, if we say we follow Jesus, if we say we honor him with our lives, we need to be willing to step outside of that comfort zone. We need to be willing maybe to get a little messy. We need to be willing to put ourselves in a place where it's just a little uncomfortable. Maybe. What is God asking you to do? And I want you to notice something. I want you to notice where the disciples ended up. Jesus gets in the boat, and what happens? The waters just stop. And where are they? Every single one of them is in the boat. Every single one of them is in the place that they know. Every single one of them is in a place that they understand. God's desire is not to create utter, complete chaos in your life, create hurt and all of these things. He puts you, and understand that is your comfort zone. A life of faith outside of that comfort zone is not a life lived alone. Those disciples were with him. Jesus was with him. He's not ruining our lives. We put our faith and trust in him and not the storm. This leads us to our third thing. Third thing is that life with Christ is better than life in our comfort zone. The final story of the gospel shows Peter just at the end of his time and walk with Jesus. We see it as a place where Jesus was just crucified, and Peter just denied Jesus three times. So this is at the end of the time that they've been together now. But now Peter has seen the empty tomb. He knows that Jesus is resurrected. He's seen the crucifixion. But I want to point out, where is Peter again? Peter and his buddies go back fishing. They go back to the comfort zone. They go back to what they know, back to what they understand, to deal with all this stuff that is happening. Like our Savior, our Messiah, our teacher, our friend was just crucified. He was put in a grave, but now he's not there. And we saw him like, I don't understand this. I'm going fishing. We don't understand that. And so he's back with his buddies and in his comfort zone doing what he knows. Peter is not leaving his faith. Just because he's back in the boat, he's not leaving his faith. He's going back to some stability, back to the basics of his life to try to make sense of things. Now look what John chapter 21 tells us. This is Peter says, I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they, the disciples, said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your nets on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. Once again, we see Peter responding to Jesus immediately. There is a call to Peter. You'd spent some time in what you know. You spent some time gathering yourself, refilling yourself, refreshing yourself. Peter, it's time. And once again, Peter drops everything and he jumps into the lake full of faith, full of excitement. And he gets out of the boat and he swims. And he has a conversation with the master on the beach, a master that will shape his entire life and change the course of the history. Now, these two bookend accounts of Peter's life show Peter in his comfort zone. They show Peter what he knows. The comfort zone isn't evil. The comfort zone isn't bad. It's what Peter knows, and they're always a part of the scene. But over and over, Jesus says, okay, you take your comfort zone. It's time to step out. It's time to do something for me. It's time to go forward. Comfort zones are just that. They're places of comfort, right? There's nothing wrong. We like it. However, a life lived in Christ through faith is a life of adventure. It's full of meaning. It's full of purpose. There is something more than the stale comfort. So let me ask you very clearly, what do you want your life to be about? Is it wanting to know that, yep, I had toast every morning at 7 a.m.? Is that what you want to be known for? Do you want to be known for taking a step of faith, whatever it is? Take a chance. Maybe sign up for a place to serve. Maybe it's taking a chance and step of faith of tithing faithfully. Maybe it's starting an organization or a business based on your faith promises and faith principles. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's having a conversation with somebody you really try to avoid at work. Maybe it's allowing your routine to be broken up in the middle of the day. Whatever it is, take that step of faith with Jesus. St. Augustine wrote down this beautiful prayer, and I believe it brings a really good awareness to what we're talking about. And we're going to transition. We're going to have a time of prayer together. And as we go into that, I want us to meditate on this prayer of St. Augustine. Okay? It'll be on the screen. Let's read this. You don't have to join me, but I'm going to read it and pray it. But may it be your heart as well. St. Augustine said this, Father, I am seeking. I am hesitant and uncertain, but will you, O God, watch over each step of mine and guide me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, that is our prayer this morning. I am very hesitant to step out into the things that I don't know. I am very hesitant to say yes to those conversations. I am hesitant to go and do things that, like a child, frankly, I just don't want to do it. But God, you've called us to take a step of faith outside of that comfort, outside of the unknown. And as St. Augustine says, will you, God, watch over each step and guide me? Because God, as your word says, I can create all the plans I want in this world, but you're going to guide each step. May that be our prayer this morning. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to come together and celebrate you. God, thank you for your faithful disciple of Peter, who over and over lived out within that comfort zone, but then took steps of faith. Maybe the simple step of faith for some of us is even coming to church this morning. Maybe a step of faith is something else. I don't know. But Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd move in the lives of the people in this room right now, that you'd prick their heart for something, that you'd motivate them, that they would not live in fear and the unknown, but God, that they live in you. Say, okay, I feel it. I hear you. I get it. I'm going to try. And God, you are going to guide me. Father, thank you for the opportunity to worship together, to grow together, and the example the disciples set, that in that comfort zone, outside of that comfort zone, that they did life together, and that's what we're doing today. Father, we give you the praise. We thank you for the opportunity to be with us as we go. Guide our conversations, guide our words, guide our ears this week as we go to work, as we go to do all of everything, and God, as those kids gear up for school, I pray that your hand of protection and blessing would be upon them. God, that they everywhere they'd go, that they'd bring you forward in the first light, everything. And they'd not be ashamed if somebody says, oh, you go to church. But God, that they say, yeah, you'd bet I do. Father, I thank you for the teachers. I thank you for all, as we serve these athletes and these coaches today, I thank you for them and their hearts. They're pouring in to shape the lives of these young men and women. Father, we give you this afternoon in our lives. We love you. Help us to love you more. In your name.